I'm sorry, number 13, Man of Sorrows. Number 13, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement can it be. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Number 13, Man of Sorrows. Jesus, for help tonight. Our God and Father, we give thanks to the Lord Jesus. We give thanks that thy Spirit is working in this world, and we give thanks that thy Spirit's working in this room tonight with any souls that have not come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, not come to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and laid their burden of sins down at the cross. We pray tonight that if there's someone that has not come to the Lord Jesus, that they would come tonight, our Father. We pray for the work of the Word of God through the Spirit of God that would be directed to any soul tonight. We give thanks that we have thy Word and not man's ideas to turn to. We give thanks for the speaker. We pray for the audience that thy Word, not the speaker's Word, but thy word by the Spirit of God would have its effect. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight, I want to welcome you to the gospel meeting. The gospel means good news. So there's, I don't know a lot of people in this room. Some I do, some I don't. You could have been invited here by a friend of yours. You could have been invited as maybe an invitation went out. But we're happy that you're here tonight. And you know, nothing falls underneath the eyes of God. He knows your heart. He knows every heart in this room. I don't know the hearts in this room. If I could do something to make you saved, I would do it. But there's nothing I could do. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And tonight, I want to start with a verse in John 4. You don't need to turn to it if you don't have a Bible. Just a part of a verse in John 4, verse 29. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, there's been a lot of self-reflection. Satan does not want the gospel to go out of this pulpit tonight. A brother came to me, he heard of a sermon that was going to be preached. The man that was preaching that word that night had done some things that weren't very well good. Someone came to him And they wrote all those things on a piece of paper and they brought them up to him. And what did he do? He read that. He read everything that that person had wrote on that card. And he said, by the grace of God, I can stand here and tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. And that's why I can stand here and preach the gospel. There wasn't anybody that unkind in this room. But I could write this list and this paper would not be long enough to write. You know, Satan does not want the gospel to be preached, but the grace of God is bigger than all my sin. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're lost. And you're on the way to a road called hell. That's a road of destruction. And you know, unpopular to men's beliefs today, the Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible is the last word on every subject. There's not a subject in this world that this book does not touch. And it's the authority by which I can stand here and preach the Word of God. If you looked at my life and you knew every thought through my head, you wouldn't say you should be here. But by the grace of God, my sins are gone. My sins were laid at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul could say, the grace of God was exceeding abundant. Those of you that know the Lord Jesus can say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Tonight, if you have tasted of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't tasted his love, you're lost. You know, I want to turn back into Genesis just for one or two verses. In Genesis, it's the very, very beginning. And tonight, I want to let you know that you have to believe. The verse was quoted. It's in Hebrews. And it says, I will turn to it before I misquote it. You don't need to turn to Hebrews. But you have to believe that God is. And then he said, a rewarder of all them that diligently seek him. I believe that is in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Tonight you have to believe that there's a God. And you have to, it says, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. You have to believe that God is, and that God is good. You can trust him. He's good. God is good. Men question God's goodness all the time. It's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. If you don't trust that God is good, tonight, the Spirit of God would like to change that in your heart so you can taste and see that the Lord is good. I want when you leave this hall tonight that you know that God is good. God is for me. And if God be for me, who can be against me? But God is holy and God cannot look on sin. God cannot look on sin. He cannot look on your sin. He can't have fellowship with sin. Your sin has spoiled it. And that is what I want to look at in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now the serpent was subtle, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Here we have Satan, that serpent, Satan, and he's questioning God. He's questioning the goodness of God. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it. neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Did man die? We say, well, man didn't die because we're still here. No, man did start dying. There's body, soul, and spirit. And maybe their body did not disappear and they didn't die right there on the spot, but men started to die. And sin came in this world and it's ruined things, and sin causes pain and sorrow. Everywhere you look, there's stains of sin. You get out, you talk to every family in this room, and there's somebody that's broken. Some pain in that family. That's the stain of sin. Every one of us, if we're honest, we've all been under the effect of sin. And so this was the fall of man. That's what the top of my Bible says, the fall of man. And this is not a fairy tale. You know, if you talk about this outside this room very far, men and women, boys and girls, they call this a fairy tale. This is not a fairy tale. Men don't die, women don't die like dogs. Men believe. They know there's a fear in death. And they convince themselves that they're tough enough to face eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're fools. God says they're fools. And many of them accept the Lord Jesus Christ or want to on their deathbed. What's the problem with accepting the Lord Jesus Christ 1 minute before you die? We had a Sunday school teacher who would ask us that. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is you don't know when you're going to die. But why would you want to use the Lord Jesus just as a fire escape? Does the love of Christ not constrain you? Does there nothing about the Lord Jesus going to the cross of Calvary to pay for the price of your sins that attracts your heart? You know, I must admit, when I was 6 years old, I got saved at a gospel meeting. I don't know that the love of Christ attracted my heart, but I was scared to die in my sins. And I knew that man, I don't even remember what his name was, I knew he was talking to me. Because I knew I was a sinner, and I knew if I died, I would be going to hell. Maybe you are just like me. And maybe the love of Christ does not, you're not attracted to that. You know, there's firemen in the room. It doesn't matter how you get through the door. Some people are pulled, some people are pushed. You got to get through the door. Tonight, you can't stay outside the door. He compels you to come in. He compels you to come in. Tonight, if you do not realize that you're lost, you're in the worst spot ever. Do not think that the Spirit of God will always strive with you. One time I was preaching a gospel, and a man came up to me afterwards, and he says, you know, you said there's only two things that could happen. You might die, and the Lord might come. He says there's a third thing that's scarier than that. It says right here in Genesis and a couple more chapters, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That brother was right. Can you imagine if you've been in a gospel meeting, you've heard the gospel, and you can't get saved because the Spirit of God stops knocking on your heart's door? That's the scariest place to ever be. Think of that verse. My spirit shall not always strive with man. God, we sing, God beseeching, man refusing to be made forever glad. Are you a gospel-hardened boy or girl, or man or woman? Had a man tell me one time that he liked coming to evangelical things and liked to be scared and dangled over hell. Isn't that sick? That's my heart. That's my heart without Christ. Is that your heart right now? So let's continue in verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto them, Where art thou? Perfect fellowship. The Lord God walking in the garden with them. And now they are hiding from God. What has happened? They've sinned. And tonight, if you're in your sins, you can't have fellowship with God. And if you're hiding from God, it's not going to work. Why would you want to hide from God? God is good. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's seeking. Verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Adam was right to be afraid. Sin comes with fear, anxieties, all kinds of things. Tonight, you can have your sins to be gone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's so easy to be saved. But what did Adam and Eve want to do? They wanted to do something. What did they do? They wanted to make fig leaves. What that is they took leaves off the trees and they made themselves clothes, coverings. They wanted to do something. And that is a little picture of us. We want to do something. We want to bring something. And later on they had two boys, Cain and Abel. And one of their boys, he wanted to do something. He wanted to bring the first fruits. Sounded like a nice idea. He wanted to bring something. He wanted to do something. And tonight, God does not want you to do anything. The work is done. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, it is finished. The Lord Jesus came to wash away our sins on the cross. You see, this is the beginning of the Bible, and the same thing happened to Adam and Eve that happens to each person that's born in this world. We're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I was born lost. My mother was born lost. I was born lost. What do you call a lamb that is born from a sheep that's lost? That lamb is born lost. You can look at the cutest little small baby and they're born lost. You look at this innocent, what looks like baby, and it's born lost. Because this curse of sin goes deep. It goes all the way through the human race. Men fell. Women fell. And so because of Adam's transgression, we all are born in sin. If I was a first man, I would have fallen. The point is not that Adam, that we're better than Adam, but that stain of sin has gone through. And so now the Lord Jesus comes in, sent from his Father to be the sacrifice for sin. The sin sacrifice. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Men and women over the ages, for thousands of years, hath sinned. It says, once in the end of the age hath he, the Lord Jesus, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. At the cross, that was the sacrifice for sin that God has looked upon. Not all those sacrifices in the Old Testament. Those sacrifices were a picture of the one sacrifice that would come. The perfect, holy, spotless one. God's Lamb that would go to the cross of Calvary. God gave his best. The Gospel of John in chapter 3, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giving God. God gave his best. God could not give more. There's nothing more God can give. God gave his only begotten son. And God punished Jesus so I could go free. It says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God put our sins on Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those words were uttered on the cross by the Lord Jesus. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was my sins. God could not look upon his son. Man would not have him. Think of that sight. There was three crosses there, my friends. Sometimes we think about just one cross. There was three crosses. And there was two malefactors, two thieves on either side of the Lord Jesus. And tonight, you have to identify yourself as one of those thieves. One thief said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. There was one of those thieves whose heart was attracted to the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that that man on that center cross was God's son. He wasn't just an ordinary man. Think of those men listening to the words coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that. But the other thief wouldn't have it. And what were the words that the Lord Jesus said to that thief? That thief became a saint that day. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Did he say, go and do some good works? No. There's nothing that man could do. And that is proof tonight that you can come in your sins right now. You can be the worst thief in this room. You can have the worst thoughts. You've kind of done the worst things. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lord Jesus can wash all your sins away. If Adolf Hitler would have come, his sins could have been washed away. The most wicked, cruel man, the power of the blood of Christ would cleanse their sins completely. Tonight you can come and be clean. And it says in Romans 8, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now there's no condemnation for me. God would not be just to condemn me. God, when he sees me, he sees his son. You know, I have a friend, and I love my friend, but he thinks that you could get unsaved if you really wanted to. Every gospel I've listened to at a conference, every time I'm sitting in a meeting, I think about a verse that shows you can't be unsaved or lost. I text him the verse. Finally, run out of verses. Then it hit me the other day, I think maybe something I was reading. For God to not let me in. He would have to leave his son outside the door because I am seen in Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's son, cleanseth us from all sin. You are seen, if you're clean, as in Christ. The same righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's clothed me in. If he didn't let me in, he could not let his son in. There is absolutely no way. Now are we become the sons of God. There's nothing I can do to revoke that sonship. I'm seen in Christ. I'm seen as his son. Once you're saved, you're always eternally saved. We can read those verses. The blood is either on the door or it's not on the door. If we were to turn a little bit further, we would see that the children of Israel had to take that blood from a lamb and they had to put it on the door and they couldn't see it. I was the oldest in my family. And that story was scary. You're not saved, that's a scary story. If the blood's not on your door, if the blood of the Lord Jesus has not been applied to your heart, you should be scared. That is the scariest thing to... That's worse than having cancer. That's worse with any terminal disease. That is the worst. To be in your sins is the worst position a man or a woman or a boy or girl can be in. I am covered with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's a fact. It's a fact. The blood is either there or it's not there. I used to doubt my salvation. And those verses were very clear. And I was pointed to those verses many, many times. The blood is either applied or it's not. You either are saved or you're not. This is not a feeling. Now, you can have the fact of being saved and have the feeling to know and to feel that you are his. What a wonderful thing to be in the sunshine of the love of your Savior and to know and feel that you are his. Does the love of Christ constrain you? Does the love of the Lord Jesus, does it mean anything? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? I want to turn to a verse in Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus chapter 15, we have a picture. We have a little picture that I want to read. The Old Testament has pictures. This is a real account. I want to be clear, this is a historical account, but there's also a meaning here. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Verse 25, the first part. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. If you don't understand that story, let me explain that. The waters were bitter. There's the children of Israel. This is a lot of people, and there's no water. There's no water that's not bitter. Your life might be going haywire right now. You might have a lot of bitterness in your life. You can't see anything that's good. Neither could the children of Israel with this water. It was bitter. Nobody likes bitter water. And the Lord told him to cut a tree down. And he put that tree in the water, and the water turned sweet. And tonight, if you put the cross of Christ in your life, you will take the bitter water and turn it sweet. If you come to the Lord Jesus tonight, he will take the bitter water and turn it sweet. The cross of Christ will take your life and just turn it around? Is he going to take all your trials away? Is he going to put money in the bank? That's not what I said. He's going to take the bitterness and turn it sweet. There's a lot of bitter people in this world. It's very sad when Christians are bitter. Because when you're a Christian, you're a Christ one. And you have the Holy Spirit indwelling your body. He's promised to indwell you. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I shouldn't hold any bitterness because I have a brand new life that only wants to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a Christian tonight and you have any bitterness, you need to judge that. Because that is not a trait of a Christian. That is not what that new life. You know, that new life, all it wants to do was please the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, tonight, if you don't love the Lord Jesus, I hate to say this because it seems so crude, but you actually hate him. If you don't love him, you hate him. And you're serving Satan. It says, no man can serve two masters. You are either, you either love the Lord Jesus or you do not love the Lord Jesus. You don't kind of love the Lord Jesus. You can't ride the fence. You either are saved or you're lost, because that's what the Bible says. And what does the Lord Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth and the life. And what does he say in the Gospel of John? Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You know, God, grace and truth. Light and love. God is not just love. God is light and love. He was the only man that grace and truth were in perfect balance. Tonight, I am not here just to tell you that God loves you. That would not be fair to tell you that God just loves you. And we just want everybody just to love God. And we want you just to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no consequences if you don't believe. And you don't have to repent of your sin. That is not the word of God. Tonight you have to forsake your sins. You have to be sorry for your sins. You have to change course. But you have no power to do that. I want to look at a verse in Ephesians. We'll look at a few verses in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it tells us how we are without the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's writing this to Christians, and he's telling them what they were before they were saved. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That means you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit, and now worketh in the spirit children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I was that. If you were saved, you were that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that's not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can bring. There's nothing you can do. The work has been done. The Lord Jesus, the words on the cross, it is finished. Here, you can't even drum up the faith to believe. Tonight, if you want to have faith, it says right here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. If you say, Lord, I don't have enough faith to believe. If you cry to the Lord and ask Him for the faith to believe, He will give it to you. It's His gift. He'll give it to you. A seeking Savior and a seeking sinner are never far apart. I'm not going to ask anybody to come up to the room, front of the room after I'm done. You can get saved right now, right in your seat. All you have to do is just bow your head and say, Lord, I believe. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Don't worry about the person next to you. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what Paul could say. Paul used to persecute Christians. He said he's the chief of sinners. You know what that verse means to me? The Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I really believe that the Lord Jesus would have come to this earth just to save Paul. Just to save me. That's how much He loves you. He loves you. He wants you. He wants to have fellowship. You remember when we looked back in Genesis, if we were to go back a few chapters, we would have seen that God walked with man and He talked with Adam and He wanted to have fellowship with him. But sin broke that. You know, God is so happy with His Son that He wants to fill heaven with a family just like His Son. But He can't have you there in your sins. You got to have your sins washed away. You can't come to God's house your way. You got to come to God's house His way. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. It's a solemn warning if there's someone here that just says, well, we got just a couple more minutes and we'll be done. And they're always talking about that stuff, but the Lord Jesus never comes. That's what Satan wants you to believe. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, there was a certain rich man. That's when it says a certain rich man, that means it really happened. It's not a parable. Which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so they would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, and he may testify unto them, lest they also come in this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear him. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, the point of the story, there's a rich man and there's a poor man. That's not the parallel here. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you go to hell, and because you're poor, go to heaven. That's not what the story's talking about. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. One man had faith and the other one didn't have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know, you might have a good time on this world, but there's not any good time that compare. Time is so short compared to eternity. And you know, that man is in hell right now. And if you go to the last verse that I just read, this is what it says. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. So if that rich man came here to this pulpit and told you, do not leave this world without Christ, you wouldn't believe. If you don't believe the word of God, it says, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, that's the word of God. If you don't believe the word of God, you cannot be saved. Even if someone came from the dead. Is that unbelievable? Our hearts are so hard. You know, the Lord Jesus walked this world 33 years. Did everybody believe on him? Everyone did not believe on him. You think of that. The Lord Jesus walking through this world, God in the flesh, walking through this world, and men. And when you read the Gospels, there's two groups. Those that believed and those that believed not. Which group are you tonight? Are you in the group of those that believe? Or are you in the group of those that believe not? Tonight, hell is real. Heaven is real. God does not want to put anyone in hell. Hell was never created for men and women and boys and girls. It was created for Satan, for the devil and his angels. And tonight, there's no reason for anyone to go to hell. You have to say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been said the road to hell is blocked with a cross of Christ. You have to say no to God's Christ to get to hell. It's hard to get to hell. You have to not want to believe. Tonight I beg you, bend the knees of your heart and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it nothing to you when you think of the Lord Jesus on that cross? He gave his life up. He was a willing victim. Yes, there's the man's responsibility. Peter says you killed the Prince of Life. But the Lord Jesus says, I'm the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He laid his life down willingly so you might come tonight. The door of grace is just about ready to shut. The door of grace, the cross, was approximately 2,000 years ago. How do we know that? There's a verse in Revelation, at the end of Revelation, Revelation 21, behold, I come quickly. Read that in closing. Revelation 22. Verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We give thanks. Our God and Father, we give thanks for such a Savior. We give thanks that the Lord Jesus was that perfect, holy, spotless Lamb of God. That one that stood in the breach between a holy God and the sinner. We give thanks that many of us can say tonight that we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. We pray for anyone in this room that has not accepted Him, that they would not put their head on their pillow until they've asked Him into their heart. We give thanks for such a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.